O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen. There are two texts of God's Word again for our meditation this evening. The first in Matthew chapter 26, verses 67 and 68. The second in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. And I would read these texts as follows. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our vicarious Redeemer, dearly beloved watchers with him in his bitter passion. As we in these special midweek Lenten meditations behold in spirit the Lamb of God, our attention is focused this year in particular not only on what he endured during the course of his intense suffering and his agonizing death, but why and for whom the sinless Son of God permitted himself to be so spitefully treated and cruelly tortured. For the declaration of John the Baptist, Behold the Lamb of God, which we have taken as the overall theme of our meditations this year, bids us not merely to look at him, or even to look at him with pity, to sympathize with him in his suffering, as we should normally do with anyone in this world who is innocently set upon and sadistically maltreated by hateful, wicked people. But we are to behold him as the Lamb of God. Now, lambs in the Old Testament were the animals of sacrifice, slain in symbolic atonement for the sins of the people, offered up as types, as pictures in advance of God's promised Messiah, whose one sacrifice would provide satisfaction in full for the sins of the whole world. And yet, beholding this meek and spotless Lamb of God as a sacrifice only in general or objective terms, that is, that he was the Redeemer of the world in general, that's not enough. For we must behold him as the children of Israel in the wilderness beheld the brazen serpent, namely, in childlike confidence that what he endured in his bitter passion, he endured for us individually, as our sacrificial lamb, as our redeemer, as our substitute under the heavy hand of God's justice. And so we beheld him first of all on Ash Wednesday evening, as he willingly bore our guilt in his sinless conscience, as he knelt in anguished prayer to his Father in heaven in the Garden of Gethsemane. And last week we beheld him in the courtrooms of Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate, meekly receiving our indictment, meekly receiving the accusation of sin that rightfully should have been screamed in our ears as those who really deserve it. For the Bible tells us God had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us in our place, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him because of his vicarious atonement. But bearing our guilt and accepting our indictment was only the beginning, as we see this precious lamb now being led step by anguishing step to the slaughter on our behalf. Come with me again in spirit this evening, and this time behold the Lamb of God as he patiently endures your abuse. Abuse is really the word for what Jesus suffered at the hands of Caiaphas' servants and at the hands of Pontius Pilate's soldiers. Abuse, not punishment. Punishment is inflicted upon those who rightly deserve it, to those who have been found guilty of some crime and upon whom just wrath is executed by duly constituted authorities. Abuse, on the other hand, is undeserved, unprovoked, unauthorized, and unjustified. As, for example, when children are savagely bitten even, burned, and brutalized by cruel parents. When prisoners are illegally pummeled, kicked, whipped, and mercilessly tortured in their cells by sadistic prison guards. That isn't punishment. That's abuse. And Jesus, the Holy Son of God, our Savior, was clearly abused. Now, we heard last Wednesday how Jesus had been set up by the chief priests and scribes and elders of the people for indictment on the charge of blasphemy, a capital crime, particularly in the Old Testament, that is, of making fun of God or of sacred things. And he was indicted on this charge and ultimately convicted on this charge based on false witness brought against him. False witness purchased by the court. False witness purchased by Caiaphas and the chief priests and scribes and elders of the people. And we noted how the high priest, Caiaphas, used Jesus' sworn testimony against him, accusing him of that capital crime for saying that he was the Son of God. When Jesus answered him in that affirmative answer, he said to the council, "What think ye?" "Well, you've heard it. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." A false verdict and a false sentence based on false witness and on the false assumption that Jesus had lied under oath. Be that all as it may, however, the penalty was death, not what was actually being meted out to Jesus here in our text. For look at what happened. Our text says, "Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" They weren't carrying out any legitimate sentence at all. They were abusing Jesus for their own sadistic amusement. Now just close your eyes for a moment and picture the sweet, innocent, meek and lowly face of the Lord Jesus. Eyes cast downward in the depths of humiliation after hearing himself branded as a blasphemer of his heavenly Father and worthy of death. That certainly was enough of a humiliation for Jesus at that point in time. But what happens? Someone suddenly spits. Not on the floor, but spits in his face. And others join in, spitting on him and mocking him. Jesus stands there, hands bound together, unable to wipe the spit from his face or out of his eyes, but he says nothing. Several of the servants then begin to buffet him. That means to beat on him with closed fists, punching him in the stomach, in the ribs, and the face, while others held him fast, held him steady, so that they could get a clean shot at him. Luke adds that they blindfolded him so that they could play a blasphemous little game on him at his expense. They took turns slapping him in the face and saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, if indeed you are the Messiah of God, and tell us if you can, and you should be able to do that if you are the Christ, who is he that smote thee? Blind man's buff. Jesus, of course, said nothing. He wasn't going to give them the wicked satisfaction of joining in their disgusting game of real blasphemy against the Holy Son of God. He just took their abuse meekly, patiently, quietly, like the lamb he was. Can you see it? Can you even stand to see it? It is so utterly ridiculous, preposterous, and wicked. Now Pontius Pilate and his soldiers were no better. After having interrogated Jesus at great length on all the trumped-up charges and accusations that the Jews brought against him, Pilate had declared in open court as we heard in the Passion History read before, I find in him no fault at all. Absolutely nothing. I declare Jesus of Nazareth to be innocent on all counts, of all charges. Innocent of tax evasion, innocent of incitement to tax evasion, innocent of conspiracy to commit treason against the Roman Empire by declaring himself to be the King of the Jews. Innocent of all of it. But now listen to what follows his not guilty verdict. Then Pilate, therefore, because Jesus was completely innocent on all counts, took Jesus and scourged him. Now you will remember that a scourging by the Romans was no mere flogging with a so-called cat of nine tails, just a leather whip. It was a sadistic mode of torture. Each of the multiple rawhide lashes was tipped with a sharp piece of metal designed to cut into the prisoner's flesh and to lay it open in deep lacerations. And Pilate did this to Jesus because he was innocent. Again and again, the scourge was lifted high and then brought down swiftly upon the Savior's bare and bleeding back. Jesus never uttered one cry and never made one protest. As the Lamb of God, he opened not his mouth, just as Isaiah had prophesied of him. In a near faint, Jesus finally slumps against the stone pillar to which victims of scourging were commonly fastened, his back now a raw and bloody mass of cuts, rips, and tears. And there he stood, silently. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you even imagine it? Behold the Lamb of God. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe, the color of royalty, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. As they actually beat down that cruel crown into Jesus' scalp with sticks, as Matthew and Mark describe it, more precious blood oozed out of Jesus' body and ran down his sweet and kindly face. Added to the bruises and the dried spit still caked on it, that blood made him look so gruesome that Isaiah says in prophecy, "We hid, as it were, our faces from him. We couldn't even stand to look at him." The soldiers then slapped him around, the Greek of our text says. They whacked him with the stick that they had given him to hold as a mock scepter, as the King of the Jews. And Mark says, bowing their knees, they worshiped him. They pretended to pay him homage as a real and legitimate king. Jesus said nothing. Jesus did nothing, though he could have struck all those cruel, blaspheming torturers dead on the spot with but a thought. He just stood there, quietly, like a sheep dumb before his shearers, Isaiah writes. Behold the Lamb of God. Pilate went forth again and saith unto them, that is to the Jews, Behold, I bring him forth unto you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Didn't quite look like it, but that's what he said. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Look at him, if you can. Look at this caricature of a man. Don't you think this has gone far enough? What a spectacle this person is. Jesus of Nazareth, the incarnate Son of God, described by the Holy Scriptures as holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Declared to be innocent even by that heathen jurist Pontius Pilate, and yet subjected to unspeakable abuse, cruel mocking, and sadistic torture, all to satisfy the wicked bloodlust of his enemies. Those who inflicted it upon Jesus, as well as those who demanded it and enjoyed it. Now it would be pretty easy for us to lay all the blame for this abuse on the Jews and upon Pontius Pilate, who ordered a lot of it, and upon the Roman soldiers who carried it out. Indeed, if we thought for 1 minute that we could get by with it, it wouldn't be so hard even for us, according to our rotten flesh, to simply be spectators, objective, uninvolved spectators, to behold the man, to behold the Lamb of God meekly and patiently enduring all this abuse at the hands of others, at the hands of those others. But the fact of the matter is, my beloved fellow sinners, that as the prophet Isaiah so clearly writes in the 53rd chapter of his prophecy, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, that cruel scourging that brought us peace with God, reconciliation of the world by God for Jesus' sake, that chastisement was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So don't let the gruesome spectacle before you this evening drive you at all to despair, because of the multitude of your sins and transgressions, and what they cost your dear Lord Jesus. But remember that he was the willing victim in all of this. He took that abuse for you in your place. He patiently endured that abuse in your stead. And he gave himself for you an offering and a sacrifice to God, the Bible says, as the perfect Passover lamb, whose holy, precious blood cleanseth you from all sin. Rather, let this image of this man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, drive you ever closer to him who so loved you. Drive you closer to him who gave himself for you, so that humbly you repent of all your sins in broken-hearted contrition, and cling in childlike confidence to him alone for rescue from the wages of your sins. And may you then gratefully cherish by faith and have the peace with God that he won for you. And thankfully pray to him who patiently endured your abuse. O sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns, thine only crown, O sacred head, what glory, what bliss, till now was thine. Yet, though despised and gory, I joy to call thee mine. Amen. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen.